Peggy will read the New Testament from Philippians. I will read an ancient prophet, not one that's often read, Zephaniah. Who is that? Well, a little book in the Minor Prophets, the last part of the Old Testament. Although Zephaniah may not be a household name, his words are so powerful and so appropriate for this Advent Sunday. And he says, Zephaniah, "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.'"
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we await once again for the surprise of your gifts. Bring them to our minds and hearts and lives again today. And we might be once more transformed and hear our call once more to be your Advent people. In Jesus' name, amen. It would be impossible for you to go out and create your own joy. Joy is different from pleasure, it's different from happiness. Joy in the biblical sense is something that we can't give ourselves. It's a gift that we can prepare for, get ready for, watch for, put our lives in a place where when it happens, we see and we feel and we experience it. But it's a gift. And we experience joy in different ways. Some people jump up and shout and dance, exuberance. Some people just quietly sit in meditation and blessing. Two texts today, Advent texts. I'm not a lectionary preacher. A lectionary leaves me cold. Sorry, but that's just me. Except in Advent. Oh, yes. In Advent, I claim all of these scriptures that have been prepared for us as we wait and prepare for Christmas. Were you sleeping or awake when the scriptures were read this morning? I don't know, maybe you were thinking about something else. You need new tires for the car, okay. You got to go to Walmart and pick up something on the way home. You forgot something, you've got to return. I don't know where your mind was when the scriptures were read this morning, but if you were not awake, you missed the best of the best of the best. Zephaniah, that old prophet, says that God will delight in us. Can you imagine what that means? God, who created the world and who breathed life into us, watches over us every moment of our lives in delight. We are God's delight. And then the prophet goes on to say, not only that, but God rejoices and sings. God sings on tune. God has a beautiful voice. And God sings a song of delight over each one of our lives. How amazing is that? And then the New Testament reading, Paul, who was not a stranger to hardship, you read the New Testament letters and you see that hardship was his second name. He's shipwrecked more than once. He gets beaten with rods. He gets thrown into prisons. He goes, he's in the water with a floating after shipwreck. He's hungry and cold in so many instances. He talks about that. He knows what hardship is like. But yet he says, rejoice always. And then he adds, I love this. He says, do not be anxious about anything. What a gift. What an invitation. Don't be anxious about anything. You're in God's hands. So don't be anxious about what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, the next year. But in everything, let your requests be known to God. And a God who goes beyond understanding will keep our hearts and minds strength and love. Don't be anxious about anything. So here we have a God who delights and sings over us, and we have this invitation in the New Testament to let God have all of us. And when that happens, then we say, whatever happens, God will hold me. God will never let go. God's blessing will be there. I am able to live wherever I am, and with whatever happens next, God's strength and power and love, you can count on it. This is a basis of joy. When you know this, when you believe it, when you act on it, when you let the Advent miracle happen that way, there is a deep joy that you cannot create yourself. It's a gift. It's God's joy coming to us, Zephaniah, and our joy answering that. Philippians, the joy comes together. It's an answering joy. Because God's joy and delight is there, our joy returns and meets God's. I remember when I was about 13 or 14 years old. It's how some experiences stay with you. I talked to my best friend 2 days ago. It was my birthday, and he calls me every birthday. And we were talking on the phone, and I said, "Ed, do you remember the time we were having an all-night card party at my basement, and you fell down the basement steps, and I thought you were drunk. I thought you showed up to my house dead drunk." He said, "Do you remember falling down my basement steps?" He said, "I don't remember that." How could you forget falling down my steps? We forget so much of life that happens to us, don't we? But this was an experience that was branded into me for some reason. I have not ever forgotten it, and I think about it often. I had joined a youth group, a YMCA group, when I was about 13, 14 years old. And one day, one Saturday afternoon, it was a beautiful day. We did a project. Our project was we divided up and we went out into the neighborhoods and we collected clothes. Now, I don't remember what the purpose of the clothes were, but it was a good purpose. It was a project of helping people somehow. And we went around and we collected all these clothes. We had a big pile of clothes when it was over. And then the director took us all out for ice cream. We sat outside someplace. And we sat there and we ate ice cream cones. And I can remember, it was branded in me, even to this moment. I was sitting there eating an ice cream cone. And I was saying to myself, why do I feel so good? It was an experience of joy that just came over and in me and never left. Why do I feel so good? You see, joy is not something we make happen or do for ourselves. Joy is always not only a surprise, it's a byproduct. We don't go out to get it. We are involved in something else. And in the environment of in something else, and it's always some way in which we're letting our lives expand. We are giving our love in a greater way. We are doing something beyond our comfort zone. We are allowing our lives to be used and become a blessing in some fashion or form. And in the process, we were not thinking about it, but it's a byproduct. It happens. And there's usually a surprise. Where did this come from? Why do I feel so good, so blessed? Joy is filled, full, overflowing in Scripture. It's everywhere in Scripture. It's at the heart of what it means to be God's people. And you know, if you took all of the words of Scripture and all of the things that Scripture says about sadness and mourning and tears and grief and hardship, and you added them all together, they would not equal the number of times and instances in which joy is celebrated by God's people. Look at the New Testament. It's full of joy. Jesus goes to a wedding, his first miracle in the Gospel of John, the first miracle that Jesus performs. The wine runs out, And what are they going to do? There's not enough wine to keep the wedding party going, and the water is turned into wine. And everyone is so surprised. Where did this come from? Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. They've been beaten with rods. They're thrown into this dungeon. And at the midnight hour, you hear their voices. They're singing praises and praying to God. It wells up and surprises us in that kind of way. Jesus tells these parables about a woman who's lost a coin. Just a coin, what is that? Well, maybe that was dinner for a week, I don't know. She lost a coin and she swept the house and she looked everywhere for it and she can't find it, and finally, my coin. And she calls her neighbors and says, "Celebrate with me. The coin that was lost, I found it." And then there's joy just wells up. Or the story about the lost sheep. Goes out and finds the sheep that was lost and rejoices all the way home. Joy is a surprise. You don't expect it, and there it is. Joy is a gift. And it comes because in the process of doing something else, there it is. And in Advent, it's in the midst of Advent, the middle of Advent, reminding us that, yes, our lives are full of challenges and difficulties and hardships. And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and we know it's going to be a difficult road. But in the midst of life, there's this God who delights in us and who sings over us and who gifts us when we least expect it. A friend of mine wrote a story from being in a conference and hearing what happened, and I read it recently. It's a preacher story, so you won't mind if I tell a preacher story. There's this woman, and a young woman who decided to go to seminary, and she wanted to go into Christian social work or mission work of some kind. The last thing she wanted to do would be a pastor. She had no interest in preaching, zero, none. But she went to seminary, and what did they do? They require her to take a course in preaching. And there was a surprise to that. Her teacher, her student, fellow students, began to say to her, "You are a preacher." I saw this happen in my seminary, almost exactly the same thing one time in Rochester, New York. The former president of the seminary heard this young woman preach a sermon in chapel. And after the chapel was over, this former president, who's was one of the great preachers in 20th century America, went up to her and he put his hands around her face and he looked down on her and said, "My dear, you are a preacher." Well, this happened to her and she decided that she was finding joy in preaching. And so when she graduated from seminary, the Methodist district superintendent assigned her to a little country church someplace in Texas, where her joy of preaching every Sunday to her congregation was the gift that God had given to her. But tragedy struck, and one day she was driving down the road and a garbage truck ran a red light And the garbage truck just broadsided her car. They had to use all kinds of machinery to cut the car open in order to get her out of the car. Her brain was not injured, but they took her to the hospital, and the doctor said to her, explained to her, the many surgeries that would be required for her to get back. And before she fell asleep, she said four words: I can still preach. You're saying that to yourself maybe right now. You should be. I know how difficult your life is. I know how difficult my life is. It's struggle. Life is hard. But I trust that you were saying something to yourself today. Three words: I can still. You don't have to say what it is. God knows what it is. I can still. In what way will you bless the world? I can still. God is singing over you to bring forth that gift and your joy. Amen.